Welcome to Know Your Risk Radio on 97.3 Cairo FM and AM 770 KTTH. Know Your Risk Radio is hosted by Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Know Your Risk Radio is brought to you by Bulwark Capital, helping families navigate the ever-changing and often volatile markets. Know Your Risk Radio starts now. Here's your host, Zach Abraham.
And we are back. Thank you so much for joining us for yet another of the most scintillating hours in finance radio. Don't you like that word, scintillating? It's just, you know, sometimes you get those words that you don't even know. If a kid didn't know what that word meant, scintillating. I mean, it just, right? It's like, it declares itself. I like that word. Anyway, it's not a show on vocabulary. Show on finance. And like I was telling the folks in the 3-minute warm-up, I hate doing this to you guys, but we got bumped again. And like I was saying, because we, I manage money, right? And so naturally, I will confess to you, this is not a completely selfless endeavor. part of how I pick interviews, quite honestly, the biggest part is who interests me. And when you get into crazy environments like this, and I want to talk about how crazy this environment is, because you're not going to see it just looking at the indexes. I feel like we've had this conversation a lot on the show over the last few years. You're not going to see it in the stock indexes, but crazy stuff is going on. Crazy stuff. Moves like I've never seen. Stock market apparently is fine with it all, as it is most of the time, right? Especially in this era. And I think that'll change shortly, but it is what it is. But anyway, got market update here. And as I was telling the folks, going to do a section on what a buddy of mine who's been on the show before, Harris Cuppy. As we call it, just Harris. What is his? Is his last name Cup? Yeah, I think it is just Cuppy. Anyway, Harris Cuppy. Everybody just calls him Cuppy. He's been on the show a couple times. He refers to projects in Zimbabwe. We're gonna have. I think we're gonna get him dialed in for next week, actually. So we should have Cuppy and Andreas Stena Larsson on the show next week, hopefully. So we should finally be dropping two next week. Andreas was on a plane, just swamped. His clients are going crazy. It's just, like I said, I got to give him a pass. Great guy. They're trying to make it work, but we should get into next week to catch up. So anyway, want to talk about real estate. We're gonna do a little section on real estate and focus a little more on residential this time because I think there's some new strands that have been brought to light. And going to talk about... Oh, again, like I said, Operation Zimbabwe. And then this may sound funny coming from me, but I think that we're going to need to focus on our frame of mind, as we always do as investors. Focus on our focus on our frame of minds. And because I still think things are going to get dicey. I don't really know how you avoid it at this point based on what we're looking at. But there's going to be an opportunity there because I want to just pound the table and tell you, as I've been saying, this isn't 08-09, right? 08-09 was so nasty because so many of the practices that we use now, or not we, that the Fed, that the FOMC, the Fed, and the government use now, they weren't really considered tools in their tool belt prior to 08. Now, if you talk to members of the FOMC, they probably would have told you that those tools existed. But obviously, we opened Pandora's box, and now you get a bailout every 16 months, right? That'll happen this time. People like, no, this time the bill's coming due. Oh, the bill's coming due. And the way I think you're going to see it, and I don't want to get out there in front of it, we'll talk about this more in our next section that we're going to do on quote-unquote Operation Zimbabwe, again, to use a term that's coined by my buddy Cuppy. But this ain't going to end in a Great Depression, guys. I mean, ready yourselves. you will see more bailouts. Everybody gets a car. You get a car. You get a car. You get a car. Right? The Oprah Winfrey monetary approach. That's what we're looking at. And don't kid yourself. That's what they're going to do. Commercial real estate will get bailed out in some capacity. Now, like I said, I don't think we're done with the pain. I think that you're not going to get a V-shaped recovery this time and a bounce back because the inflationary problem is going to keep a lot of different things depressed. And you're seeing that across the board. And this is kind of what we're getting into the market update. So first and foremost, some earnings came out yesterday, and several of them did. I focused on a couple. And when we tell you that the lunacy and the idiocy has not been knocked out of this market yet, I think that the response to the earnings yesterday, a perfect example. Micron, semiconductor company, Micron, MU, symbol MU, came out yesterday. It's one of the worst quarters I've read in a long time. I don't really have anything good to say about it. Forward guidance was bad. They missed on top and bottom lines. It was just bad. I mean, completely bad. There is no silver lining to the Q. I read through it. I'm still, last I looked, it's up 5%. I have no clue why. At first, I thought maybe it was a short squeeze. Maybe short sellers were taking profits, you know, going, okay, this might be as bad as it gets, and I don't think it will be. Then we looked at it, barely any short interest. I can't explain to you guys other than just, again, muscle reflex, anything with tech, buy it. Right? Lululemon, not a tech company. Now, Lululemon was a little interesting. Huge rally in the stock today. Again, I will look at you and go, I think this is way overdone. I think they're a great company. I really do. Performance of, like, is the stock expensive? Yes. But I think it deserves a premium valuation because I don't, you know, let's kind of start from the basics. I don't think yoga pants are a fad. I think it's kind of like baked in as a new gene. I don't think it's going anywhere. Women like it too much. Well, I don't want to get into this, but I think everybody likes them, right? They're comfortable, right? Usable. I don't think it's going anywhere. That's obviously what they've staked their claim to. And if you've ever owned their stuff, it's expensive, but it's really good quality stuff. That being said, the market is acting ebullient regarding their earnings release, and the performance of the company was really good. However, you go over and look at margins, right? Gross margins were down 3%, which isn't horrific, but it's definitely something to keep an eye on. Operating margins down 11.5%. Inflation is squeezing them across the board. And this is the thing that I think people are really having a tough time adjusting to. Okay, the way I see it, you're looking at two different things. Record profitability that we enjoyed over the most of the back end of this cycle, it's gone, guys. That's gone. And I think it's really hard to argue looking at valuations that has not yet been built into stock prices, right? Everybody tells you the market's looking 18 months ahead. It's complete nonsense. Okay. That's efficient market theory. And I think it's less true today than it's ever been. And if you want examples of what I mean, Zach, that's heresy. The market always looks ahead. Yeah. Well, where was it looking on January 31st of 2020? Right. Where was it looking ahead at that point? Right? Where was it looking ahead on December 31st of 2021? You had the Fed telegraphing rate hikes and markets still rallied like mad. Right? If you haven't accepted that the market is supposed to look ahead, but doesn't at some point, or quit doing that at some point, I mean, I don't know what to tell you. I don't think this market has ever been more blind. Right. And I mean, for good reason, because the one game in town has been the Fed printing money. And so I think that's, again, I think the hope that the Fed's going to flip around, which they will at some point. But I think that's what's propping up markets. I mean, I just think people are refusing to adjust to the new normal. When you've got inflation at these levels and rates not at zero, the same things aren't going to work. These margins are going to get pressed. You're going to continue to see it. I think you're going to see I think you've hit record margins, and I think that margins overall will float downward for quite a bit. And stocks are not priced for that. And you could see that in the reaction to Lululemon earnings. Right? Again, I think the stock should have moved up. I think it was a strong quarter. Again, I like the company. Right? Like, not bashing it at all. But you just look at this world and you're like, It's kind of like NVIDIA, right? Everybody's all pumped up about that. AI. Guys, look, AI to me, it's going to be a big deal. Okay. But I think you can put it in the same category as the internet, right? It's going to take a while to learn how to monetize it on a wide basis. Now, I think the adoption of that will be quicker than the internet at large. But I don't think it's this odds lock for, you know, all of this profitability, right? We got to see this get integrated. We got to see what they do. Do I think it's a suitable thing to maybe take some speculative positions on at this point? Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Like I said, I think it's going to be a big deal going forward, and I think it's going to get bigger and all that kind of stuff. I'm not saying it's just very early on. And truthfully, if you wanted to invest in AI, everybody's jumping on the NVIDIA band train. That's not where I'd be. I think Google and Microsoft are probably better plays. Why? Because they're going to buy up all – they already did, right? ChatGPT, Microsoft went in there. They're going to buy it. And I think the other ones are going the VC route, like, right? So I think everybody just – NVIDIA is the way to play AI. No, it's not. No, it's not. This is a lot of hype. Will they benefit from it? Yeah, the way it currently sets up, they probably will. But, you know, you just go look at the valuation on that thing. I mean, to say it's priced to perfection, you know, the only comp you have for it is Microsoft in 2000. And we've talked about this before, a company that big in that industry priced the way they – I mean, it's really the only comp. And you know, if it follows suit with Microsoft, you know, Microsoft had 12 years of just no stock movement, right? Just a wasted 12 years. So I think people are being extraordinarily unrealistic. And what I'm seeing when I'm looking at these earnings and people are responding to it, I'm like, oof, inflation's really starting to hit them. It's really hitting them. And remember, if it's hitting Lululemon with the demand you're seeing, you know, 30% revenue increase, like I said, impressive quarter. And those guys have been, I wish we'd have bought them way earlier. The other thing I got a full disclosure, I wouldn't mind picking that thing up on the cheap. So maybe it's me, you know, I'm sure that's probably influencing my view a little bit. But when you're looking at a premium retailer like that with the setup we're going into right now, trading at that valuation, it's just not attractive. I mean, I just think that you're probably going to get an opportunity to pick it up significantly cheaper. But I could be wrong. I mean, I've said that before. So full disclosure. The other thing that I find fascinating, you guys, is, in my opinion, always got to throw that caveat out there. In my opinion, I think people are being extraordinarily Pollyannish about the environment out there. I was reading tweets from supposed professional investors, money managers last night. Well, advisors. And the reason I delineate, guys, I'm not dogging on financial advisors. That's how I've started. Technically speaking, that's what I am. The reason I draw the delineation is that a money manager and advisor, somebody that runs a portfolio and has for a long time, that's, you know, doing analysis and research on individual securities, building portfolios of individual securities, managing the risk inside of that portfolio. It's just a completely different job. I think people throw them in together, or they consider a financial advisor a money manager. They're not. The real difference here is that financial advisors, by definition, the vast majority of them, right, and I'm probably 95%, are financial product salesmen. That does not make them bad. I'm just saying, factually speaking, got tons of great buddies, great people that do a very good job as financial advisors, not taking any shots whatsoever, because technically I am one. I'm just saying, you just see the world through completely different lenses when you're running a portfolio as opposed to selling somebody else's portfolio that they run, right? Which is what the vast majority of financial advisors do. But anyway, I saw this tweet talking about, you know, people in the Midwest, they're not worried about all this stuff. You know, we're living our lives, restaurants are packed, nobody's worried about interest rates and Silicon Valley Bank. And I just sat back and looked at that and I went, that's the dumbest tweet I've ever seen in my life, right? And this guy, of course, has a big following. And I just thought, that is the most vapid tweet I've ever seen in my life. Dude, look, I don't care where you live. Topeka, Kansas, Toledo, Ohio, Tampa Bay. We'll just use all the T's, right? Interest rates are pretty democratic. Okay? It's not like, well, the interest rates are going to hit the coast, but, you know, people in the Midwest, doesn't bother them. Right? It's the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life. It's one of the dumbest things I've ever heard in my life. There are a lot of places in the country. Look at the bloody markets trading at 22 times earnings, for God's sakes. Right? Restaurants are packed. Look at the jobless numbers. Guys, let me just tell you something. Okay? Do you know when jobless numbers and when consumer spending is at its peak? At the peak. Right? You're already seeing consumer spending capitulating. We've talked about what we see as weakness in the job market by dropping overtime hours worked. And I still can't square those two things, right? If you show me record low unemployment and yet, you know, unemployment hours falling at a pretty good clip, or excuse me, overtime hours falling at a pretty good clip, those things don't marry up. Now, is it possible that you know, a few months down the road, we'll see a development happen where I go, oh, okay, well, that's why employment. Yeah, it's possible. I'm just telling you, traditionally speaking, when I'm seeing unemployment hours aggressively pulling, or excuse me, overtime hours aggressively pulling back, and you're telling me that unemployment's at a record low, those two things just don't fit. Disney announced more layoffs this week. Tech continues to announce them. Pretty much, I don't know if there's a major tech company that's not laying people off. And these are high-paying jobs. All right, so, I just don't think people are being realistic, guys, especially in our economy. Right? Why do I say that? Because there's no economy on the face of the earth that's more debt-driven. Okay, when you increase the cost of debt by 500x, and that sound, you know, it's probably not responsible to put it in that way, because that's, I mean, you're coming from zero, right? So it's, if you're coming from three and you increased it 500, you know, five times, five, you know, 400%, so I don't want to be hyperbolic. What I'm just saying is when you have a debt-driven economy, we've already seen the impacts of what happens when that debt gets hit in principal value. What we have not yet seen, what we have, we're just choosing to ignore it, is what that increased borrowing costs with record high asset price, what it does. It freezes markets. Just people can't afford it. Right? And that's what I'm chuckling about. Well, we'll get into that in the next segment. So anyway, guys, bottom line is, I think people are being extraordinarily unrealistic about this. We got tough times headed our way, in our view. I don't see there's any way avoiding recession. I also don't think it's going to be a depression. And we'll talk about this later in the show, because we do need to keep our head on a swivel. And that's what we're going to talk about in that section, Operation Zimbabwe. But before we get to that next segment, I want to focus in on residential real estate, because it is something that impacts us all. And I think it's something that needs to be revisited. And re-emphasized. And as always, guys, if these things concern you, which they should, right? Because I'm going to lay out to you the way that we see the world and what I think is going to happen. But I want to reiterate something that I think risk management is going to be of the utmost importance going forward. Why? Because I think that's sort of the scenario for the economy. Meaning, the setup is wicked. Right? It really is. I think if you left this economy, if you didn't have a Fed stepping in and muting the negative impacts of all these things going on, I think you could be looking at an 08-09 scenario. You know, not in terms of the same type of thing, not in terms of the big banks going under, but in terms of a recession of that magnitude. Okay, when you look at A space commercial office space, and you look at write-downs that are already occurring, you know, I could be proven way off, but I think if you look at A-class office space as a sector, I have to believe that 30 to 40% on average needs to come out of that. Okay, so what that means is massive write-downs on banks that are already under stress due to rising interest rates and low borrowing and contracting borrowing. And like I said, with A-class office space, I don't really see any way out, because it's not just a rate issue. If they cut rates, you're still dealing with the work from home problem. And I, you know, that'll moderate to some degree, but there's also been massive buildouts. There's still tons of supply coming on the market in that space. Meanwhile, the need for it is decreasing. And I think a recession only magnifies that problem because it's an easy way to cut cost. And you're already seeing that. And that's the one thing that's dicey to me is I don't want to be too Pollyannish about that because the setup is really bad. So if these were normal times, I'd be like, oh, but batten down the hatches, guys. We're in for a rough run, probably a multiple year rough run. Now, I just don't see it that way because I think that it's going to get nasty. And when it does, the Project Zimbabwe effect kicks in. Fed's going to come to the rescue again. Why? Because they have to. And I've been saying this for years. What do they do? Have you seen any evidence that these people will quit printing? Have you seen any evidence that these people are going to insist on financial discipline or equity or supporting free market principles? You're going to see, I mean, I don't know why people, well, this time there's nothing they can do. Yeah, there is. They'll print. And then they'll adjust their inflation expectations higher, right? This whole 2% inflation target, if they really want to go at gun for that 2% inflation target, I think you're probably looking north unemployment north of 7. Again, I could be wrong. I just that's my personal viewpoint. And we know they're not going to tolerate unemployment at 7. Right? They got to save the folks. Right? So I'm laying all this out, but I also will say that, you know, doing things the way that we do them, managing risk, you know, backstopping, hedging different, you know, all parts of our portfolios. I think it's important because I don't want to be too cavalier about this. The outlook is nasty. And it just comes down to rates, guys. I got a note here for the next section, rates. And I want to go through that so everybody really understands that. And the impact and the drag that that has on an economy and how, you know, the other illusion that I want to address is something I'm hearing people talk about regarding rates. And I want to warn you, again, I think people are being very unrealistic and nonsensical. And I certainly don't want to see our clients get trapped, and I don't want to see you get trapped. And it's always tough because I'm a guy on the radio. And so, right, one of the reasons I'm on the radio is to gin up clients. I mean, it's just full transparency. That's one of the reasons. But I will also say this, guys, you know, our average client was down 5% during the COVID crash and finished up virtually with the same performance as the market that year. Muted out the downside, caught the vast majority of the upside. Same was true last year, right? Average client was down 6-7, market was down 21, NASDAQ was down 33, bonds were down 25-30. Okay. And the performance over that period of time has been in excess of market performance. What I'm telling you is that you don't, in order to accomplish your retirement goals and grow your portfolio, you don't need to take crazy risks. Just give us a call, 866-779-RISK. You can get more upside, less downside, way less risk, way less cost. Call us, 866-779-RISK. Don't be caught. Don't call us after losing 30%. Manage some risk and make sure you're fine no matter what happens. Stick with us through the break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio podcast. Download and subscribe at knowyourriskradio.com.
This is Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. Listen to Zach discuss key investment strategies across several asset classes, not just stocks and bonds. Get your free copy of Zach's new booklet, Common Sense Investing. Go to knowyourriskradio.com.
We're talking with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital and host of Know Your Risk Radio. Zach, I know you and Bulwark are laser focused on risk management. What is the biggest risk right now as you see it?
Ironically, bonds.
Really? Why?
Due to all the money printing from central banks in the long period of zero interest rates, some serious inflation has hit, I'm sure you're aware. And inflation crushes bonds. We've been talking about it for 7 years. If your portfolio has a significant portion in bonds, you may need a bond replacement strategy. You do need one. Get our free booklet, Common Sense Investing, to learn about Bulwark's bond replacement strategy. This shows you how to protect your retirement against loss, but still get market gains. Our goal is the highest returns with the least amount of risk and cost.
Call now for your free copy of Zach's new version of Common Sense Investing. Learn about Bulwark's bond replacement strategy, 866-779-RISK. or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client services agreement. Bulwark Capital Management is an investment advisor representative of Trek Financial LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we are back. Thank you for sticking with us. All right. So want to get back to the conversation of rates. Okay. Here's what we know. First of all, it's going to get worse. And I want to give you a really good example of that. We've told you over and over, saw an article last night, home prices are down 10%. Where's the bottom? Okay, let me just tell you something. Home prices aren't down 10%. Okay, that number 10%, that's the ask. Okay, the bid is way lower. People talking about home prices being down 10%, no, they're not. There's no volume. So that what that tells me is that right now, things could change, but what it tells me is right now, the clearing price of housing is somewhere below 10%, and I don't think it's 1% below it. Right? You got record low mortgage apps. Record low, below the bottoms of 08, 09. Okay, and what that tells you, just any market, guys, what it tells you is there is a massive hole between the bid and the ask. And whenever you see that in markets, 99 times out of 100, the ask comes down to meet the bid. Okay, the bid being the buyer, the ask being the seller. Buyer's bidding on the price, the seller's asking for a price. And we've talked about this, it's just simple economics. And what's going to happen, and I've seen evidence, pretty big jump in the Tacoma area of homes listed for sale just in the last 2 weeks. Meaningful jump. I don't want to put a percentage on it, because I haven't gone through and done the math, but I think to say that you've seen the number of houses for sale in the area that I live, South Puget Sound, by Tacoma, Gig Harbor, Washington, that area, about 45 minutes south of Seattle, for those of you that don't live in this area. I got to check the numbers, but it appears to us that saying that the number of houses for sale in the last couple of weeks has jumped by about 25 to 30%. I think that number is very conservative. I think it's probably a little higher than that. I haven't done the math, so don't quote me on that. Okay, and this is one of the things I was talking about. I don't think you're not going to see an avalanche. I don't think you're looking at 30 or 40% housing drops from here. Okay, but this refusal to accept the bid will turn into some kind of avalanche of selling. Okay, I don't even want to use the term avalanche, because I don't think that you're going to see losses that I think you may see overall quote-unquote losses that are somewhat close. You know, I think the average home in the United States was down 40 to 45% in 08, 09. You know, it wouldn't surprise me if you saw a pullback of 30 to 35 overall. I think that's probably a little aggressive at this point based on what we can see. People are like, well, that's close to 08, 09. Well, yeah, but home prices weren't up 60% in 06 and 07. Okay, so I just think we have to put it in perspective, and I just think everybody's being very, very unrealistic. Okay, when you see the contraction in credit in the market over the last month, when you see the pace of home sales, when you see the fact that home sales are still being listed at close to record prices, that people like the path of least resistance is down, guys. I just don't know what to tell you. The other thing that you're going to see is this tight housing, and I don't know what reality is, but there's something really interesting going on in places like Phoenix and really hot markets. First of all, and I think Phoenix is the poster child of this, so I don't want to extrapolate that out to every other market. The markets are different. Real estate is regional. Problem is rates. This rate issue is national and global to a big extent, right? But what you've seen is the conditions that have enabled institutions to step in and buy homes. Now, they can still buy homes, but you know, like take, for instance, Airbnb. We all know people that have bought Airbnbs, do Airbnb. The biggest driver of that boom, guys, was the fact that mortgages were cheaper than rents. Okay, so anybody go out there, buy a property, really at any price at these, you know, pretty much, and flip it around, Airbnb it, rent it out, and make more money than their mortgage. Okay, that is changing right now. Rates have now dropped below. I think the last time this happened, again, do not quote me, it was either the end of 05 or 06, where rents drop below mortgage costs. And so what does that mean? That means that if you're a mostly, you know, if you're a cash buyer, obviously you can still go out there and rent it. But that's not what the majority of these people did. The majority of these people were pulling equity out of their homes that they bought 2 years ago, using that as a down payment to buy another one. And the whole cash flow arbitrage was they could rent it out much cheaper. Well, you look at Phoenix as an example right now. And again, it's going to be an extreme example. We don't have the same setup in Seattle. You got Airbnb vacancies right now somewhere between 60 to 70%. And you're looking at somewhere like 1 in 3 to 1 in 4 homes in that area is Airbnb. Okay, so think of how many. I know personally guys that have Airbnbs, and not crazy ones. Ones that are right in the middle, right? The kinds that should rent the most, the fastest. Nice homes, but not crazy. You know, 2,200 square feet in good locations. Pools in the backyard, nice landscaping. They haven't had a renter for over 3 months. I know multiple people that can't get any rentals. Nobody's renting them. And it just comes down to rates, guys. It's not complicated math. And like I was saying about those guys in the Midwest, well, nobody's worried about that here. Guys, rates, nobody gets around this issue. Nobody. And so, and like I was saying, I think these whole 10% housing drops that everybody saw, that's not true. That's not the clearing price. They're down more than that. Right? What is the price that you'd need to have housing at to see the market behaving somewhat normally? Substantially lower than where we're currently at. The underlying fundamentals of consumer balance sheets are deteriorating. They're still at a really good place as of right now. Right? Again, but home equity is factored into those calculations. Stock market valuation, you know, stock market accounts are factored into those valuations. I don't think those two are going to get considerably better in the near future. I think the unemployment rate's going to start going up. So, you know, I can't reinforce, and it's really bizarre to me when I still hear people going out there, well, I'm looking at this real estate product. Again, guys, I could be wrong. The risk reward is just horrible. If you think there's an, I mean, if you just look at price, if you want to go invest in real estate right now, unless you've got some kind of special angle, right? I mean, you're doing, you know, if price matters, and I will tell you this, like Buffett says, there is nothing that defines the success of an investment more than the price you pay. That's the whole game. Okay, if you think real estate, it's never been more expensive, ever. Housing affordability is an all-time low. Could it get worse? Maybe. But, you know, if you're buying real estate right now, it's like buying the S&P at 40 times earnings. I mean, you're buying it at a record expense level. The outcome's probably not going to be real good. And I still see this bullishness, this unwillingness to wait for, and I'm just looking at people, hey, hold your horses. Give it 12 months for crying out loud. And one of the reasons I say that is risk management. It's not that I'm telling you I know prices are going to be better, but I do think time is on your side. I think you can make 5 to 10% over the next 12 months in U.S. government bonds. If you believe the Fed has to lower rates at some point in the next 12 months, and I don't see any way out of that. So if you get 4-4.5% interest on the bonds, you get 5 to 7% appreciation of the underlying bond itself. I think it's, you know, I think it's a very, very conservative estimate to think that those bonds, you know, 10-year, 20-year U.S. government bonds will make it 10 to 12% over the next 12 months. I don't see housing doing that. So I'm just looking at – and here's the other thing. The one thing I don't see is housing outperforming that, right? So I'm looking at people who are like, well, we just really want to buy a house. We just really want to do it. And I'm like, well, okay. I think the overwhelming chances are – that if you put that money in U.S. government bonds, it's going to be worth 10 to 12% more 12 months from now. And I think housing will conservatively be 5 to 10% more affordable. That's a big swing. That's 20, 25% savings over the next 12 months if I'm right. And here's the other thing. Like I said, I just don't see it running away from you. Now, is it possible after 12 months, maybe housing's up 3 or 4% from here, maybe you only made 4% in your bonds. Yeah, but that's not a loser. Right? That's the same thing. You make 5% on the bonds, housing goes up 3 or 4%. You have a lot. I just don't see housing go up 3 or 4%. And the market would tell you that. Like I said, look at the spread between the bid and the ask. Look at the amount of volumes. I'll just keep repeating this, guys. Not yet. Right? Remember Braveheart? Remember Mel Gibson in there? Hold, right? As they get close, hold. It's what I'm telling you guys. Hold. Hold your ammo. Don't shoot yet. Let's wait till we can see the white in their eyes. And they're still a few hundred yards off, guys. Remember, nothing has a greater impact on the success of any investment than the price you pay. And that is still my problem looking at this market, whether we're talking about stock market, real estate, whatever the case may be. The outlook is very nasty. The credit situation is deteriorating. The economic situation is deteriorating. I don't know for sure where it's all headed, and nobody does. What I do know is that when you show me an economic backdrop like this and asset prices at record highs, it's never been the right move to step in there and buy them. Could I be wrong? Sure. But guys, investing is all about playing the percentages. And at the very least, like I said to you, let's say housing doesn't go anywhere. Well, if you sit in government bonds and make 4-7% over the next 10 years, over the next 12 months, that knocks the cost of your housing purchase down 4-7%. Right? So I just think, have some sobriety, be very choosy about what you do, guys, and cash is very good right now, especially if it's sitting in short-term U.S. treasuries or even longer-term U.S. treasuries. I love the anti-bond guy is talking about bonds every week, right? Can you believe it? And why? Just because now you're getting a better yield than we got since 2006. You can make some actually realistic money on it. And in my opinion, I don't see any way around the Fed having to cut rates. And if you're in retirement, guys, if you're close to retirement, this is the kind of thinking you need. You don't want to call your guy right now with all this craziness going on, stocks still at really high historical valuations. Oh, well, just ride it out. Ride it out. With these storm clouds on the horizon? Again, it's just a bad risk-reward setup. Could I be wrong? Sure. Guess what if I'm wrong? Guess what the consequences is to the clients? We make a little less over the next year. We make a little less. If they're wrong, your entire retirement could be in jeopardy. And I'm not saying, I'm not saying total economic collapse is coming. I'm just saying the risk rewards are so off balance. And all too often, I see people, the typical advice, well, just ride it out. It's like bonds last year. If your advisor did not see the bond problem coming last year, what are you paying them for, guys? Just stick your money in Vanguard for crying out loud. What are you paying for? Don't make that mistake. Our clients didn't lose a dime in bonds last year. Why? Because we've been talking about the bond problem for 7 years. Don't you think that foresight, that's what your fee should buy you? Your fee should mean that you were down 6-7% last year, preferably up. Don't get me wrong. I wish we were up. Rather than the average retirement portfolio being down 26. And all it was just listening to the Fed's going to raise rates, so we better get rid of things that will go down when the Fed raises rates. Hello. It's like Silicon Valley Bank. Everybody sits there and talks about how stupid Silicon Valley Bank is and the idiots, and they're still sitting in a 60-40 portfolio. The same bloody thing happened to them last year. Don't be Silicon Valley Bank. Open your eyes to the risks out there and acknowledge you need to do something differently. You want your retirement to be okay regardless of how this plays out. So give us a call, 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Go to the radio show website, knowyourriskradio.com, boardcapitalmanagement.com. You can follow me on Twitter, at KYR Radio. You guys know the drill. Stick with us through the break. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Know Your Risk Radio podcast. Download and subscribe at knowyourriskradio.com.
This is Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. Listen to Zach uncover the truth about the financial markets with simple and honest advice to help you plan for retirement. Get your free copy of Zach's new booklet, Common Sense Investing. Go to knowyourriskradio.com.
We're talking to Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital and host of Know Your Risk Radio. Zach, what's the number one concern with people's investments right now?
Without a doubt, it's inflation, and it's here. With all the money printing from the Fed and long period of zero interest rates, the bills come and due, and inflation's going up. And when inflation rises, bonds get smoked. We've been saying it for years. If you're using bonds in the old school 60-40 mix with stocks as the safe portion of your portfolio, you're taking a risk in today's inflationary environment.
So what should our listeners do?
If you're worried about inflation, we believe that you should consider getting out of bonds and get educated with Bulwark's Bond Replacement Strategy. We teach you exactly how to do it in our free booklet, Common Sense Investing. Learn how to protect your portfolio against loss, but still seek to grow your assets.
Call Zach now for your free copy of Common Sense Investing, 866-779-RISK, or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client services agreement. Bulwark Capital Management is an investment advisor representative of Trek Financial LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we are back. Thank you so much for sticking with us through the break. All right. Now, I teased this a little bit in the opener, but I was talking about something that my buddy Cuppy calls Operation Zimbabwe. Now, for those of you that don't know, Zimbabwe is like the poster child, kind of like the Weimar Republic. It's one of the poster children of hyperinflation. Now, as I've told you, because of who we – now, and this is where we want to inject, guys. Risk management is not being bearish all the time saying the sky is falling. Risk management is recognizing the threats, hedging and guarding against them, and also – prepared for those threats not playing out, right? It's a foot on both sides of the fence, especially in crazy times like this. Were we hedged up and worried in 2021? Nope. Not until inflation numbers start coming out toward the back half of the year. Why? Because that was not the kind of environment at 0% rates and Fed still or government still pumping money. That's not a bearish environment. Okay? This is the polar opposite. Literally. Money is being sucked out of the system. M2, an economic figure of money floating around the system, is contracting at the greatest rate that we have seen since the 1950s. Now, that also should not panic you, because we saw through COVID the greatest acceleration in M2 ever. But this just goes back to my point that I've been saying for a year and a half. We did not enter a new normal in COVID. It was a sugar high. The first thing we want to see is things float back down to levels that more resemble 2020. That's also, or the beginning of 2020, that's also one of the reasons why I don't see real estate cratering another 30%. Because I look back at the long-term trend line of housing prices, and if real estate falls back to that long-term trend line, you're looking at a 20 to 25% pullback from the peak. Which would still mean you're up, what, 30, 40% over the last 2 years, right? So we're not being, you know, this is not apocalyptic. This is not the sky is falling. Now, what concerns me is the backdrop is challenging enough, not just here in the United States, but the world over, right? We got to look at the world more so than we ever have in the past, is 40% of revenues for the S&P 500 come from international markets. Okay, which is more than it's ever been. So we also got to look at, you know, we also got to look at the globe. But the reason why I want to talk about Operation Zimbabwe is, first and foremost, like I said, the Fed has finally painted themselves into the corner that we said they were going to paint themselves into for years. And that is, they've got to decide what is more important to them, the economy and unemployment, or hitting their long-term inflation average, their long-term inflation goal. I believe that the days of 2% inflation have sailed. I believe to get this economy to 2% inflation, I think it would result in higher unemployment claims and more devastation than the Fed is willing to take. The Fed is willing to handle, and the Fed's not willing to handle a lot, guys. Right? I mean, every crisis, bail them out, bail them out, bail them out, bail them out. Look at Silicon Valley Bank. Right? You know who were there? Rich people, companies. And have they quote unquote let it go? Do you realize that the average depositor, I know this because we had one of our accounts there. The average depositor was only going to have to take a 20% write down on the amount of money they had in their account above the FDIC insurance. The Fed wasn't even willing to let that. This weren't blue collar people. These were VC funds, corporations. It's Silicon Valley Bank, for crying out loud. It's Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. That's who you bailed out. And that's what I'm saying, is that it's why we can't get too bearish. This doesn't end in a depression, guys. It was never going to. I think we got a real rocky ride ahead of us. But what I am telling you is the Fed is in for a penny, in for a pound. We talk about the commercial real estate. Just watch. I think you're going to see them form a vehicle that is reminiscent of the Resolution Trust Corporation that the U.S. government put into play in the savings and loan crisis toward the end of the 80s. where they basically quarantined the bad assets off the bank balance sheets to keep there from being a widespread collapse. I think they're going to do the same thing with commercial real estate. Bail out, Nate. Once you go down this road, you don't get back. Like I've said 100% of the time, right? Once you quit artificially stimulating the whole system and you've done it this long, the removal of the stimulus becomes the emergency. Because think about what stimulus does. By definition, it's running the economy hotter than the underlying fundamentals can support. So once you pull that away and you normalize rates, boom. We don't go back from here. The government, the Fed, they're not prepared to take the pain. They're not going to. So all these people, you just, the only thing you should own is gold. Now, I think gold's going to do really well over the next 5 to 10 years. But you got to have more assets than that. You got to spread it out. But Operation Zimbabwe is just that, recognizing that the powers that be, that if we look at the power structure of the United States, at some point this government decided we like free markets, we just don't like the downside of free markets. We want the trophy, we don't want the pain. We want the paycheck, and we don't want to put in the hours. And the problem is, once you go down that path, you don't go back. It's why no country has ever come back from 100% once they cross that line of 100% debt to GDP. Because normalizing, getting back to a sober place, is too painful. And the analogy I will use, when you look at central banks, when you look at the Fed, when you look at the U.S. government, what you've got is you got a drunk on your hands. Okay, you got a drunk on your hands that's been imbibing on artificially low rates and printed money for 15 years. And every time they try to dry the drunk out, it goes for about 20, 24 hours. The drunk starts getting the shakes, the DTs. The Fed panics and goes, oh, he's got the shakes. We got to get him a drink. Got to get rid of these shakes. You look at him and go, guys, the shakes aren't a problem. It's a feature. It's part of the sobering up process. But they don't want to do it. They don't want to deal with DTs. So what does that mean? It means the drunk's going to stay liquored up. And that's one of the things that we think. Look, I can't, again, if we weren't thinking about Operation Zimbabwe and bailing everything out, I'd be as bearish as they came right now. That's where the outlook is. Right? People go, what do you mean? Employment. And again, I'll just go back to you guys. Consumer spending is already trending lower. Okay. Consumer spending and unemployment rates, unemployment is at its lowest point and consumer spending is at its highest point at a peak. So every time you hear somebody say that, that's what they always say. It's like the movie The Big Short. Oh, it's not a big problem. It's a gully. We're just going through a gully. Okay, the flip side that I want to interject, and this is why I think risk management is so important. We need things in our portfolio that are going up in value over the course of this next year, where I believe most assets will be going down. Why? Because we need to be prepared to buy things. We want to avoid the pain that's coming down the path at us. But we also want to be prepared to buy things that are cheap and that are opportunistic, because this ain't going to stop. It's going to keep rolling. It's going to keep going. We're going to do more bailouts. We're going to print more money. I believe the Fed is going to eventually move their long-term inflation target up to 3 to 4%, possibly even 5. Well, they probably won't move the target to 5, but I bet somewhere between 3 to 4. They're going to have to learn with higher rates of inflation. Get ready for it. And this is right. We want to skate to where the puck is going. If you look at the average portfolio you're sitting in, it's doing the opposite. Well, this portfolio historically has averaged 8 to 9%. You look at them and go, what is historically average about the environment that we're looking into? Because if you're telling me that's the historic average, I have to assume it's not going to do that well, right? Because the inputs are all way worse than historic. We've never had home prices this expensive. Highest inflation in 40 years. Longest period of time at 0% interest rates. Banks popping because the Fed funds rate hit 5. Not 19 like it did in the 80s. 5. But we can't get too bearish. And that's the other part of risk management, right? Risk works both ways. We bought some more oil stocks yesterday. Didn't load up. Why? Because the writing on the wall. And you need to be prepared for it, and most of you aren't. Most of you have a portfolio that is literally built to get destroyed in an inflationary environment. You're heavy tech, and you still own your bonds. Go look at the 70s. Don't take my word for it. Go look how that kind of portfolio, the S&P 500 and Barclays aggregate bonds at 60-40, go run that through. You don't need to take my word for it. That portfolio over 1966 to 1981 was down like 25%. Meanwhile, inflation averaged like 9% a year. That return of that portfolio during that period of time was the equivalent of an 85% stock market crash. So if you think inflation's a problem and you're still sitting in that standard portfolio, what are you doing? Wake up, baby. Right? Reality's knocking on the door. You got to manage some risk. You got to make sure that you're good no matter what happens. Will we be perfect? No, nobody is, guys. But the one thing is we can build you a portfolio that's cheaper, that gives you more upside, and I can look at you and say, hey, even if the worst happens, in this portfolio, you're okay. You're not exposed to a catastrophic loss. You can sleep at night. Relax. You'll be fine. And you can do it cheaper, and you can do it with, like I said, more upside exposure. The other thing is the real pernicious part of that is how much money has flown into passive vehicles like ETFs. A lot of you are in mutual funds. Those are uniquely positioned to do poorly. Again, they're loaded up on things. That portfolio worked beautifully in a zero. Well, the bond side didn't, but the stock allocation did. When you go look at the S&P 500, the smallest parts of it now are the parts that benefit from inflation. And it makes sense. There hasn't been any for 15 years. So where'd all the money go? So it's not just the bonds you need to be worried about, guys. It's the equity side of it. Do you realize that you've got close to a record low exposure in the S&P 500 to energy? Do you realize that you've gotten close to a record low exposure to materials in the S&P 500? You have no precious metals exposure. You need real diversification. You don't just need tech and big cap S&P 500 companies. You need a lot more. It's going to take a lot more to get through this. But like I said, on the other part of it is the more we avoid the pain that we think is inevitable, the more of that stuff we can buy, right? It's not just about avoiding losses. It's about being able to buy assets cheap. And if all this interests you, which it should for crying out loud, call us, call somebody for crying out loud. 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Go to the radio show website, knowyourriskradio.com, bulwarkcapitalmanagement.com. You guys know the drill. Stick with us through the break. We'll be right back to finish things up. You're listening to the Know Your Risk Radio podcast. Download and subscribe at knowyourriskradio.com.
Thanks for listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Schedule your free risk review with Zach Abraham now at knowyourriskradio.com. Zach will be back with more Know Your Risk Radio next Saturday at noon on 97.3 Cairo FM and AM 770 KTTH.
The opinions expressed in this program are for general informational purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or on any specific security. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing. Any past performance discussed during this program is no guarantee of future results. Any indices referenced for comparison are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. As always, please remember investing involves risk and possible loss of principal capital. Please seek advice from a licensed professional. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement. Bulwark Capital Management is an investment advisor representative of Trek Financial, LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor.